You're tuned into The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As the coronavirus pandemic continues to unfold, Governor Pritzker's stay-at-home order, as we said earlier, has been extended through April 30th. In the past few weeks, many of us have had to make changes to our daily routines, whether it's limiting all non-essential trips out of the house, adjusting to working from home, or practicing social distancing. But if you look out your window today, you might see Amazon or UPS delivery trucks dropping off packages. Or if you need to pick up something at your local hardware store, you likely can still do so. That's because Governor Pritzker's stay-at-home order lists dozens of business categories that are considered essential. Everything from the postal service to banks to food production. These are stores and companies that have been encouraged to remain open, whereas other non-essential businesses were told to close or send employees to work from home. Yesterday, producer Libby Foster caught up with an Illinois postal worker while she was on her route. Many essential workers have been faced with the difficult decision to either stay home and risk losing pay or go into work, where many say they're not getting adequate safety protection.
Work's been kind of hard because, you know, people call off from work, and just because of the simple fact they don't want to get sick even though they don't have the flu. So it's been kind of tough. Because everything's been heavy, because people are home ordering more stuff. So I enjoy, you know, working and helping out others, even though it's everything going on around me. But if, like, we're putting our own self in risk and getting sick, but we still, you know, come to work and put forth the effort to bring out the outgoing mail and bring packages out and mail and things like that.
For more on all of this, I'm joined on the line now by Alexia Elijalde Ruiz. She's been covering this for the Chicago Tribune. Alexia, thank you for being with us again. Welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks so much.
And Stephanie Furtado is also with us. She's a lecturer in the School of Labor and Employment Relations at the University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana. Stephanie, welcome back to the 21st. Glad to have you as well.
Glad to be here.
So, Alexia, I want to start with you. I think the term essential workers is kind of confusing, and there can be obvious ones like healthcare workers, but a lot of different groups of people are still having to go out to work. Can you help us figure out this category? What are some of the essential businesses listed in Governor Pritzker's stay-at-home order?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there are dozens, and it encompasses a wide range of industries. So obviously healthcare, obviously, you know, the grocery store workers you're seeing out there, but also accountants are considered essential. Laundromats, dry cleaners are considered essential. Companies that make supplies to help you work from home are considered essential. Media and then also, you know, lawyers and real estate services, but also companies that supply essential businesses. So it kind of, you know, it works its way up to a broader category than you might initially think.
And is it just Governor Pritzker who decides who is considered essentials? Do businesses have some say in this?
So the businesses, you know, look at the order and determine themselves whether or not they believe that they are essential. And then they let their employees know. And then often, you know, they are providing a letter to employees saying that they're essential just in case they get stopped along the way to see why they're out and about. So there's not like, you don't like an official, you don't get an official essential designation. There's no one policing it, but there are ways to report if you believe that you are working for a company that should not have designated itself essential.
What happens if a company decides to flout the order? Is there any sort of penalty? Are there people policing this?
So the city of Chicago has said that residents can call 311 to report an essential business or a business that is operating that should not be considered essential. And I believe that there are fines of, I think it's $1,000. I can like check that. Either $1,000 or $10,000. A big difference. $10,000. If the city investigates and finds that they have violated that order. At the state level, there doesn't seem to be some official, you know, way to file a complaint. But Governor Pritzker the other day during one of his press conferences, you know, did say that if you feel like that you're in a situation that seems unsafe, whether it's an essential business or one that shouldn't be operating, you know, to contact the health department.
Stephanie, I want to ask you, so I think like we said earlier, it's understandable in amid a global pandemic that healthcare workers would be essential. But I don't think a lot of people before this crisis gave thought to the idea that grocery store clerks could be considered essential. And I wonder, do different interpretations of what is an essential business? I think there was a story out of Colorado, maybe one of our producers mentioned that the Hobby Lobby there might have had a disagreement with government as to whether they were essential. Stephanie, if you have these disputes between employers and employees, is this something we're seeing?
Yeah, definitely. And Hobby Lobby has sort of gotten a lot of national attention in that way. Both in Wisconsin and in Indiana, the police actually had to come in and shut down two different Hobby Lobby stores. They had closed, but then they had reopened. And according to the Department of Homeland Security and the Bureau of Labor Statistics, between 49 to 62 million workers in the United States are considered essential in all of these different categories. So in the Chicagoland area, that's roughly a third of all the workers in the metro area. And you're right, there's a lot of, work that we immediately think of as essential, right? Healthcare workers, firemen and police. But there's a lot of other workers that have to go to work in order to, make sure we all have food on our tables, right? Make sure that we get the supplies that we need to live. And sometimes those categories are difficult to determine.
Yeah, supplies we need to live, like, I don't know, sparkles and yarn, I guess, in the Hobby Lobby case. So what if an employee feels like they're concerned about working, their employer wants them to work? Are there recourses? Are there protections for employees who don't show up to work because of the concerns about the virus?
Well, and that's the problem, right, is a lot of these workers are already low-wage workers. The average grocery store worker in the United States makes less than $11 an hour. A lot of these workers don't have paid sick leave. 1.4 million workers in Illinois don't have paid sick leave. So, there have been expansions because of COVID-19 to provide more paid sick leave for workers. But a lot of workers have to face, really tough decisions. If they don't get to go to work, are they going to get paid, right? And especially if they've not been laid off by their company, it's tricky then to try to get unemployment. So are they going to go out and risk their health, or are they going to get a paycheck? And a lot of the workers that, for a long time have been some of the lowest paid workers, right, in our society, we're finding out through this crisis how essential they really are.
And not only risking their own health, but risking the health of the community, especially if you think of somebody like a delivery driver. Do the businesses that employ workers like this, do they have a responsibility to the public, do you think, to keep people at home?
I do. I think every employer should be looking very carefully at how to minimize contact between employees and between employees and the public. And, you've seen some of this. You go to grocery stores and you see now that there's plastic face guards. We went grocery shopping the other day and we saw that they had installed at our grocery store guards between the cashier and the people that are checking out. So I do think employers are trying to keep their employees safe, but a lot of the PPE is going to healthcare providers as it should. But what we've seen is that a lot of these frontline workers in different industries are getting sick. So, there's four postal workers in the Chicago area who have COVID. There's a CTA bus driver and a CTA transit worker. And in New York, there are eight MTA transit workers have already died. There's 582 that are sick and 3,000 more that are under quarantine. So in a very real way, these workers who are providing these essential work, often at very low wages, are taking their lives into their hand to go to work every day.
Well, earlier this week, several workers at Amazon and Instacart walked off the job. The walkout came after workers in at least 11 Amazon locations nationwide have tested positive for COVID-19. These demonstrations also come at a time when both companies are hiring hundreds of thousands of new workers to handle the surge in delivery orders. Here's Chris Smalls speaking with CNBC on Monday. He was a management assistant at an Amazon warehouse in Staten Island, but he says he was fired earlier this week following the walkout?
It's been scary. It's been real scary. Unfortunately, we have people that were out there today with me that haven't been in that building the entire month. They're afraid for their lives. They're afraid for their family lives. And that was the reason of the whole entire movement. Just me being the voice and sticking up for those who don't have a voice. I felt it was the right thing to do. Unfortunately, it cost me my job, but I don't want to work for a company that doesn't take care of their people. And the Amazon has dropped the ball on that.
That's audio again from CNBC. Alexia, do we know if the Amazon and Instacart walkouts, did those stretch into Illinois as well?
Instacart did. So that's a really loosely organized group of people. They're all gig workers, for the most part, who are out there, you know, selecting people's groceries and then driving them to their homes. The lead organizer was in California. There definitely were people in the Chicago area and Illinois who were participating. It's so hard to know how many. But yeah, you know, like their big concerns were just that they're not getting the proper equipment to keep themselves safe. They're just asking for, you know, the company to provide hand sanitizer and disinfectant to spray down their phones. They also want, you know, they had some tipping requests. They just feel like given the circumstances and that they're putting themselves out there, that they should be treated better.
And Alexia, what have we heard from other big companies here in Illinois, in particular about how they're handling the stay-at-home order? I guess some chains are offering increased pay.
Yeah, so some chains, I mean, so like so a lot of the food production companies are offering bonuses, or they're increasing pay by $2 an hour, for example, as they try to, you know, motivate people to keep going to work, because a lot of people are afraid and just not coming in. They're also trying to hire thousands more people to meet kind of rising consumer demand for a lot of food. So you're seeing that from a lot of the food producers. You're seeing that also from some of the grocery stores, that they're raising wages by about $2 an hour, seems to be kind of what's been consistent. So the question is, you know, is that worth it to people who might, you know, really be nervous about coming in and being so exposed to the public?
And what about sick time benefits? Have we seen any changes there?
So a lot of companies are offering COVID-specific sick time benefits. You know, they're saying, like, if you're diagnosed with COVID, you can get 2 weeks of paid sick time. But that's obviously tough, you know, to be officially diagnosed when there are so few tests around. So some of them, you know, they're things are changing so frequently. But, you know, some of them are just saying if you have symptoms. Chicago, obviously, and some Cook County suburbs has a law that requires employers to offer at least about five paid sick days a year. And then there's the new federal emergency paid sick time, which doesn't require an official positive test, but rather just, you know, symptoms, that applies to employers with under 500 workers. So there's paid sick time out there, but I'm sure there are definitely employers out there that are not necessarily offering it, which is, or at least not paid. You know, they're just saying that people won't get dinged for attendance if they don't come in. But that does put workers who are at those companies that don't have paid sick time in a very precarious situation about whether to decide to forego the paycheck or stay home with their symptoms.
Stephanie, I want to ask you, and we're coming to the end of our conversation here, just a few minutes left, but this situation is putting more pressure on the workers that remain. More people are choosing to stay at home, and companies like Amazon or the Postal Service, then they have to accommodate more online ordering. And as we heard, this increased pressure and concerns over safety have led to walkouts from Amazon and Instacart employees. Do you think we could be seeing more of that sort of thing as this situation continues to unfold?
I do. And I think, you know, you've seen a lot of unions making demands for their workers to receive hazard pay. You know, the University of Illinois, where I work, the campus labor coalition just put out a statement that the workers that are still having to come to campus to do essential services, that they should be receiving hazard pay. And so you see this, that there's increasing demands that workers should be given consideration for, you know, like that interview that we heard at the beginning of the segment, the postal worker, as more people aren't coming and as more people are bringing deliveries into their home in order to keep their social distancing, that means there's more pressure on postal workers, right, who are carrying heavier loads. And I do think that workers, both within unions and non-unionized workers, are going to continue to stand up and say, hey, you know, we deserve to be considered and treated fairly during this crisis.
And the last thing I want to ask you about, Stephanie, is we've been talking about big businesses here for the most part. And again, we've only got about a minute now, but there are a lot of small businesses in a really difficult position right now. Can you talk about some of the challenges in terms of employees that would be unique to working at a small business as opposed to one of these major corporations?
Right. And in some ways, you know, the federal law actually only applies to businesses under 500, right? And so that does provide some safety net for those workers in those businesses if they cannot go to work. But yeah, small businesses, you know, local restaurants, local food service providers, things like that, you know, this is going to be a really tough time for them. To try to navigate this, but also then the aftermath of when this ends, how many of them are going to make it through is something that we haven't seen yet.
Stephanie Furtado is a lecturer in the School of Labor and Employment Relations at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. We also spoke with Alexia Elhelde Ruiz, who's a reporter with the Chicago Tribune. Stephanie, Alexia, thank you so much for making the time to speak with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Like a lot of people practicing social distancing, some of us are working on quarantine projects. If we are fortunate enough to not be in the position of having to go into work, and if we have some free time, maybe picking up an instrument we haven't played in a number of years, cracking that book that's been collecting dust on the shelf. We are collecting your stories about it. We want to see your pictures or send us a voice memo about what you're working on. You can email that to talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org. You can also tweet us at 21stshow. Use the hashtag StayAtHomeIL. We'll feature your work on our website. More to come. Stay with us.